Hello again, everyone, and welcome to our blessing from Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, today on April the 12th, 2014, 2015. Oh my gosh, I've got to keep rolling with the calendar here. I was a little bit on a backtrack because I remember this day, which was Easter, actually, in 1998. I was in the process of writing Love Without End. And on Good Friday, before that Easter, I had a very, very serious illness. We don't know to this day what it was, but it caused me to go unconscious, actually in a coma, for 3 days, and I woke up on Easter morning. That was in the middle of writing Love Without End. I suppose I was supposed to experience by some small measure of homeopathic significance something of that day. I barely attained any consciousness that day, but I did. And for about 3 months following that, I was very, very ill, so much that I had to be walked to the computer to sit propped up writing most of Love Without End in that condition. And I was appreciating the courage and the strength that I gained from writing that book in that condition, setting aside all physical problems, all physical issues, and wondering if this is so powerful, if this is so true, why am I still suffering from this illness? And I didn't know until years later that the illness wasn't really so much an illness as it was purging all of the previous 50 years of illnesses from my body as I was writing that book. Once it was gone, once I was healed of that, I was stronger in my, I was stronger in my 50s and 60s than I had been in my 30s. So if you ask me, how can I be going 7 days a week, accomplishing all that I'm doing, painting paintings, writing books, teaching classes, moving into a new home, setting up a new home, et cetera, et cetera. I have more energy at 70 than I had at 20. But there was this little passage of time, and it was during the writing of Love Without End when he was literally purging former illnesses out of my body that had been stuck there. A fascinating thing is that it was triggered. I had just started writing The Adamantine Particles. And I was looking into my body for what those particles would look like if I could see them inside myself. And all I noticed was a lot of chaos. And I began to sort of mentally and spiritually and by intuition pull them into focus and alignment. And the next day, I went unconscious. So this makes me believe that a lot of our life is lived in what might be called adaptive consciousness. In other words, we were born in full consciousness. Something happened. We adapted to it. We regained our consciousness. Something else happened. We adapted to that. We had an illness, got over it. If you have the measles, you don't get them again because your immune system adapts to that and prevents you from getting measles again. And I think a lot of our experience in life is adaptive inoculation. We learn from these experiences and we make decisions about I do or don't want to have that again, and we move on down the road. And sometimes we can just brush these things aside, and sometimes we have to really work through them. And I have noticed people who have entered phases of their life, you might call the dark night of the soul, who have the courage to really work through what's happening, who don't give up, and eventually find light at the end of the tunnel. They are sharper, brighter, more full of hope, more full of faith, courage, enthusiasm, joy, than they ever were before they entered it. Makes you wonder what they were purging from their life. Yeshua says that when he died on the cross, he was doing that for all of us, that we could have a new start. Because he came to this earth to incarnate as all of us, to literally be the human race, to be the one, the template from which we were all created, the one that is all, and so what he purged for all of us. Now, this doesn't mean we don't have our own issues and mistakes and misdirections that we need to get rid of, because we cling to those. Nobody can get rid of something you're holding on to. Let's face it. And we hold on to our mistakes and our resentments because we think somehow they're precious treasures, that if we hold on to them long enough, we'll learn eventually why we did it, what it was all about, and then it will build to our, we'll profit from it. Let's just put it that simply. I'm not sure we ever profit from it. I think that we have been denied a precious truth that we're going to talk about in our class today, to drink from living waters that Yeshua brought to all of us 2,000 years ago. And that is that we were created in the likeness of God. And if we were using the name that he used when he lived on this earth, Yeshua, the formal version of that is Yehoshua. But we know that that is the name he used because it's the name in the Dead Sea Scrolls, the ancient Aramaic testaments, the Gospels, that predated the amalgamation of Christianity with the Roman Empire. And there's a great significance in that name because it means God is with us. Now, I find that to be an amazing revelation in itself, that we are worthy to be in the presence of God, that we can have our own direct connection with God, and that God would choose us for a companion. You see, so often we're really taught that we're, well, we probably were children of God, but we're the prodigal son. We're the child that left home. We're the child that ran away from home and we got lost and we barely resemble our origins now, if we could even imagine them or find them. Well, the name Jesus affirms that, second meaning, because the name Jesus means the one who saves us. When the early church amalgamated with Rome, it took on for his name the name Isus, I-E-S-U-S, Isus, which was the name in all of the Latin Bibles for, oh, I would say, gosh, 1,500 years, Jesus. And that name, which means the one who saves us, is actually the only reference in all the Gospels to the fact that he came to, quote, save us. I have no objection to the idea that he saves me and us, that, in fact, he did that on the cross. I have no problem with that. I have a problem with the further innuendos that theologians have attached to it. And that is that we are a prodigal son, that we are a lowly sinner, not worthy to be with God, and we would have no way of finding our way back to God except that someone came in with a fishnet and scooped us out of the ocean and took us back to heaven, but we would have had no way of getting there because we are a lowly, low-down, forgotten sinner that is as low as the scum on the bottom of the ocean, had he not come into our life. And as a matter of fact, I think that's absolutely wrong. This is the further interpretation that drove me away from churches that preach that. You see, if Yeshua came to be one and all of us, how could he have done that if we were the lowliest scum on the bottom of the ocean? Yes, we had forgotten who we were. Yes, we were deep and darkly departed from our divine origins, but God still deemed us worthy to be with us. And in the name Yeshua, it says God is with us. That is so important for you to know in receiving the blessing, that you're receiving a blessing from someone who is with you, that you have a right to a direct connection with God. You don't need a safety net. Now, the reason Isis was so important for the amalgamation of Christianity with Rome is because for 400 years, Rome had been killing Christians. And I'm not talking about a few, I'm talking about millions. It was genocidal. And the amalgamation with Rome literally saved the lives of Christians. So, naturally, they would prefer a name that implied that level of salvation. But never was that in the Gospels. It was never there. What was there is God is with us. And in that meaning of God is with us, we have the key in all of the scriptures to the living waters that is in the New Testament. It's there. It was in the name of Christ. It was in his name from the very beginning. It was in everything he said in relation to God is with us. You see, the idea that he came to save us pushes us at a distance. It makes us way, 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 way beneath him. So that if he's with us at all, he's standing on our heads, not walking beside us. We don't get the living waters from that. We get the living waters from the fact that he walked with us. He ate with us. He hugged the lepers. He walked with the ordinary people. And the fact is, he didn't care if someone was a sinner, because as he said, you're all sinners, but you're still also all children of God. You're all still my brothers and sisters. And I came to reveal in you what you don't know is there, but it has been there from the very beginning. On the cross, he looked at the man who was hanging beside him, and he said, this day you will be with me in heaven. He drew no line between us and him. And to this day, he doesn't draw a line. He's with you. Right now, right here. But since we can't see him, as I was privileged to see him for a short while, a few times in my life, he's probably appeared visually maybe, I would say 20 or 30 times, but certainly not every day. He sent to us the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Spirit that united him with God, that we might have the same union with God that he did. And it is the Holy Spirit that comes in the blessings of Christ. He channels the Holy Spirit into you. He stands beside you. He opens your heart. He's here that you may receive what you need to receive. And in that receiving, it may be that you will be instantly healed from something, or an instant change in your life will occur. Or it could be, as what happened to me, in 1998, at this very time of year, Good Friday and Easter, as it was in that year, you will be taken into something you need to purge from your life so that you can be permanently healed from it. You may be taken into something you need to confront and clear out. There may be someone you need to forgive who needs to forgive you so you can finally let go of that whole issue and be renewed. Just about the only thing that holds us back from being the love that we are, and that's something else we're going to look at in our class starting today. Just about the only thing that keeps us from seeing that is holding forgiveness from other people. Because you cannot hate another person and feel the love that you are. You can't resent another person and feel it. You can't hold bad feelings for another person and feel it. In fact, the two commandments, he just gave us two commandments, and that is to love another as yourself and to love God with all your heart. If you do those two things, you can't help but know that love is who you are. When you know that love is who you are, you begin to attract. That's the great magnet. You want to know how to attract blessings into your life? First, discover the love that you are. That's the key to everything. That's the key to moving mountains. It's the key to knowing what you really do believe. And you know, most of us don't know what we believe. We think we know what we believe, but we really don't. And a lot of times we believe some pretty negative things. And we really get to what we truly believe when we can open up to the love that we are, because that exposes all the negative beliefs so that we can eliminate them. A very inspired philosopher of the 20th century, Norman Cousins, said, "It's not so much you get what you think as you get what you believe." That's just an approximate quote. I was reading that on my husband's Facebook, and I just loved it. You can go to Dr. Larry Jensen on Facebook and read the whole quote if you like. Larry does some wonderful posts on Facebook, and I think you would enjoy reading them. I certainly do. But getting back to what the flow of the thought right now is, that we could say anything. We could say we want something, but what you get is what you believe. And this is what Yeshua said. He said, if you truly, truly believe something, you can say to the mountain, come, and it will come, but believe comes first. He didn't say, if you truly think that mountain will come, then you can say, come, and it will come. He said, if you truly believe it. See, we're not getting in touch with our beliefs. The reason we're not is the first thing we have to do is get in touch with who we really are. That's a fundamental principle. We have to get in touch with our relationship to God, which is a direct one, not somewhere out there. No one has ever found God through theology. Just doesn't exist. Philosophy is all about what some people think God is. And it's an interesting subject. It's a good way of fleshing out your faith and finding points of agreement between yourself and other people inside of your faith. But it's not going to set your faith in place. You're going to have a direct relationship with God, and that will be through love. Now, there's the living water. I so hope, by the way, I want to congratulate the people who had the sense to sign up for this webinar today, because it is one unlike I have ever presented. And I have the feeling of the presence of Christ more than any other course I have ever put together. In fact, it's even hard for me to focus on the preparation because I keep getting distracted with him. I just look at him. I feel him. I think of him. And my mind goes blank. I have been doing this for a week. And then I keep looking at the issues that I thought were relevant, and they're irrelevant, because the only thing that matters is the living water that he brings and he opens up inside of us. So it's going to be a different kind of experience, and I'm so glad you enrolled. And by the way, I felt this was so important that I did open up a few more lines, and I think there are maybe 3 lines left. So the course starts in about an hour and a half. So if you feel moved to enroll, go for it. You can find it in our store, inspiredorigination.org. Or you can just go to lovewithoutend.com. That may be where you prefer to go. And then there's a big button in the middle of the page that says all products and services. Click here, and then you go there, and you'll find it under webinars. It's the one just about to happen. And I'm left speechless. It has been the easiest and the most difficult webinar I have ever prepared. The easiest because there's almost nothing to do except to call him forth, because he is the living waters. And the hardest is to find some words to express it. No wonder the translators of the Bible opted for a different interpretation of his function in life. It's so much easier to describe something that's only slightly true. The truth confounds us. It blows us away. It carries us to a different place. And the truth is the same for all of us, even though we each have different perceptions of it. It's really an amazing thing when it flows through our life. And I would like to open our call. I don't usually do this at the end, but today's a little different. If there's anyone who wants to comment or ask a question, I'd like to open the line, because I could personally use a little anchoring right now. I have just been so shifted into his presence that I would normally start a blessing at this point, but it's not quite time. I don't want to be early, because some people start the blessing remotely exactly at the half hour. Hi, Desmond. You're on the call.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
I love you.
Love you, too.
Thank you.
And Chris is on the call. Hi, Chris. Chris, you're on.
Oh, sorry. I was muted. Hi. Yeah, just calling to say I signed up last night, and I look forward to being there today. At the class, and sounds like an absolutely perfect conference for me.
Really bad. So I'm just going to say I love you.
Yeah.
And June is on. Hi, June.
Hi, Glenda. I just want to say thank you for that wonderful message, and I'm so looking forward to that class tonight.
Oh, me too. This is going to be a humdinger, to say it in Texas terms. Thanks, June. I look forward to being with you. And Jerome is on the call. Hi, Jerome.
Hi there, Glenda. Love to you and blessings. And I had a thing happen today and yesterday. We went into a deep meditation, and I just saw sparkling lights and purple color. And then I felt the presence. And what it said was, you are love forever.
Yes, indeed.
Well, you are too, and so is Yeshua connecting with you. So I just send it back to you because you send it out so well. I love you, and have a great day too.
Oh, thank you. And down here in Texas, we've got a phrase called back at you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye, and have a wonderful blessing. And Sharon, I see you're on the call.
Yes.
Hi, Sharon.
How are you? Hi.
Hi. Oh, Sharon, I'm sorry. Could you call back in? I was muting Jerome and accidentally took your call off. You've got a couple of minutes. We'll talk, okay? Hi, you're on.
Hi, can you hear me?
Sure.
Okay. Hi, how are you doing, Glenda?
I feel great, thank you.
Great. Well, hey, I just wanted to briefly get on the call. And I haven't been joining as much on the calls on Sunday and just kind of going through my own stuff in life. And about 3 weeks ago, I just said, I don't know what's going on. I gave up a couple of bad habits. And I just said, God, here's my life. And I handed over my life to him. And it's just been a miraculous, wonderful change in my life. And I feel like instead of relying on other things, I'm now relying on God. And all of a sudden, it's like I'm getting promptings from Spirit. And I really want to do this course. And I just wanted to share that with you. And I don't know if it's too late to join.
No, it's not too late to join. But as soon as the blessing is over, you better jump on it because it, after what I just said, you know, I promise I'll make a space for you, Sharon. Okay?
Okay. I appreciate okay. that. Anyway,
and Sharon, you know what you said says it all. You know,
yeah.
We think that external things are going to be the solution. And, if we read what the, there were many, many wise teachers of Christ's message in the past, but some of them made the mistake of making him too remote. He's kind of a different cloth. And we make him this savior that comes down and casts a net and uses some divine means to make us into a different person. We don't need to be a different person. We just need to be the person God created. And turn it all over to God. You know, be in the presence of God. That's it. It's as simple as it gets. And we forget that simplicity because so many people have tried to make it complicated. It never was complicated. It never will be complicated. The world is complicated. If anything in your life ever gets too complicated, my friends, take a look at probably the fact is you're looking at something you gained from your experience in the world. That's where things get complicated. Between you and God, it's not complicated. It's simple, and it is redemptive. It is renewal. And there is saving grace. I am not in any way changing that message any more than Jesus was confronted, or Yeshua was confronted by the priest of the temple, and they say, "Are you changing the teachings of the sacred text and the prophecy?" He said, "No, I'm not changing them. I just came to approve them." Or to fulfill them, actually, that was his word. And this is true. Those who say that he came to save us, it's true, but not in the sense that we were as lost as some people like to think that we are. You see, here's where they go wrong, is they hate people who have committed sins and crimes, and they draw the conclusion through their own judgment that those people are lost. And they could never be saved or brought back to heaven unless somebody cast a really, really wide net and did some miraculous redemption, because there is no kingdom of heaven left in those inmates on death row. And nothing could be further from the truth, as Yeshua proved on the cross. Okay, let's find the truth of God. Let's find the simplicity of God. Let's stop our judgment. Let's stop our hatred. Let's replace it with love. But we're not going to love, you know, we're not going to love everybody until we also make a genuine effort to find the love that we are. Remember, Yeshua said in his commandment, love your fellow man, love others as you love yourself. That means you got to find the love in yourself first. As you love yourself. We've got to stop that self-deprecation, that self-loathing, that inadequacy, that sense of deprecation and degradation that we have come to associate with our life as it played through the field of action. Got to get over You've got to get over yourself so that you can actually get back to the self that you are. And I think that's a great place, a great note to start our blessing on. So let us begin. Blessing givers, join me unless today is your time to receive a blessing. And I ask that you stand with me. The rest of you, please be seated. Have all of your body parts uncrossed, no crossed legs, no crossed arms. We're going to be conducting the energetic flow of the Holy Spirit, the love of Christ and the grace of God from heaven to earth and back from earth to heaven, passing through you each time it flows. And as it passes through your heart, we would ask that you be in your heart in prayer, that you may pray the prayers of your heart, that they will be magnified and heard and carried to the heart of God, and also carried into the heart of the earth, that they may manifest in physical form. As they're carried to heaven, they are multiplied in the heart of God. As they're carried into the earth, manifestation begins. So let your prayers be carried in both directions. And I would begin with a prayer of thank you to Yeshua. And then we shall begin. It will go on for about 3 minutes. And then you will rest for 7 or more. It's okay if you fall asleep. But do not think. Don't try to figure anything out. Don't bring your beta brain into this. Don't even continue your prayer, because that involves words, and words can sometimes bring the mind in and wonder, was my prayer heard or should I speak louder? Just be silent and receive. Be on the receiving end of God's grace for at least 7 minutes, and then arise and get on with your day, knowing that you have been blessed and your prayers have been heard. Dear Yeshua, we thank you for your eternal loving grace that you came to earth to be one among us, to be as us, to live and even die, and then bring to us evidence of our own eternal life, our own eternal love, that shall live forever in heaven and in the hearts of all who remember us and in the hearts of all that we have loved. We ask today that you would give us the love and the grace of your blessing, that we may be healed, prospered, anointed for our life purpose, redirected if necessary, lifted up into more than we ever thought we could be, and renewed in our understanding that we are indeed a child of God. We thank you ever and ever and ever. In your name, we pray. Amen. The blessing is complete. Now I would ask that you go and rest for at least 7 minutes and be in the heart of God. Bye-bye for now. I look forward to being with you again next Sunday.